You are listening to a Campfire Firecast.
Welcome to the second Campfire Convention Firecast. This is Pete Lawrence taking you back to Union Chapel, the venue for our first London event, Convention002.uk, which took place in early November. The theme was reimagining our world, and for starters, we looked at how we might reimagine politics with our Think Shop panel. We also hear how Liv Talk rounded off the day with some dynamite poetry composed on the fly. But we start with the debut of the Campfire Circle Singers, led by Toby Hugg. Yes, Mr. Hugg was in the house, ready and able to lead the ensemble in some extraordinary singing. Let the sparks fly.
Who are you?
My name is Tobias Hugg. I'm a singer, beatboxer, choir conductor, music facilitator.
And why did you decide to join Campfire Convention?
I'm a friend of Pete Lawrence, and I've been to the Big Chill many, many times, and I really love the just philosophy, you know, sharing ideas, sharing, like creating things collaboratively, and I'm a big believer in, you know, being in a circle, sitting around a campfire and listening to other people and expressing yourself. So
what have you made of today's event?
It's fantastic. A lot of, you know, incredible people, actually. I think that was the most beautiful thing. Like, there were so many thoughtful people. Obviously, the talks and the workshops were really interesting, but just the participants today were really inspiring, and there was some great, great conversations. So, yeah, I'm taking a lot of, like, thoughts with me, a lot of inspirations, and, yeah, it leaves me, like, with a lot to process and how to apply it in my, you know, how I want to put that into action and how I want to apply it to my own practice as well.
Okay, great, thank you.
My name's Bryony, and one of my highlights was the impromptu community choir. It kind of summed up the spirit of Campfire for me. He's basically a brilliant conductor and told us when to come in, whether it should be softly or loudly. And effortlessly, we created an improvised, harmonious, textured performance with some cool beatboxing from Tobias that brought it all together. We have the tools to do this thing that we've been doing since time immemorial, often around campfires, connecting with others, expressing our experiences and feelings, celebrating our diverse talents, and working together to produce something that benefits everyone, even those who just listened. And actually, it was just really good fun.
Okay, so who are you?
My name is Gemma Dempsey, and I'm a music supervisor and radio producer.
And so why did you decide to join Campfire Convention?
I decided to join Campfire Convention because I met Pete probably about a year ago, and that's around the same time, or a little before, I decided to move out of London, and I'm looking to set up a new business that engages with the local community and has a bit more of an impact than just serving frothy coffees.
And what have you made of today at the event?
I've really enjoyed today. I've met some people that already I can imagine speaking to again. I also hope that it's, you know, to use Pete's term, has given me a bit of a spark as to what I can think I can do. And it's helpful when you're considering the next steps to have an infrastructure and know there are like-minded people that you can call on and that you can be part of. So I think somebody talked earlier about following, but also, you know, you can lead and you can follow, and that's how you build a community.
Okay, great. So who are you?
My name's Jonathan Layton, and I'm a writer, and I call myself a social activist and an ethics strategist. So I'm interested basically in promoting a more compassionate world. Last year I set up a new think and do tank, based in Switzerland. And the whole focus of it is promoting the prevention of suffering as our ethical priority.
And so why did you decide to join Campfire Convention?
So what happened was I actually spoke at a small campfire event in Cheshire back in July. And that came about because Kirsty Wright, who organized that, she contributed music to a film that I did. And that's how we got in touch. And then she invited me to give a talk at the small event. Pete was there. And apparently he liked what I had to say and asked me if I would be on the panel at this one.
And what have you made of today's event as a whole?
Oh, it's been fantastic. You know, there's the Campfire social network. So, you know, I've got in contact with some people that way, but to actually meet people face to face. And I just hear about what people have to say about politics and about education and connect with people. It's been a really wonderful experience. And I enjoyed also the panel I was on food and politics and, you know, hearing some different views about how people see the future in terms of food production and land use. I mean, there's so many topics to talk about, but you know, everybody is interested in creating a world that's more about people and not about about money and you know, corporate power. So I think there's a common spirit here, which, you know, I think extends well beyond Campfire. But I see this, as I think many people do, as a movement, something which will expand and help people to move more towards the world that we want.
Okay, thank you.
The first Think Shop panel at our convention event was entitled Reimagining Politics. Is it a slow burn process to persuade people it can be done differently, or do we need a revolution? We listened to Richard Barbrook, Kim Fernley, Ed Dowding and Indra Adnan in discussion about the best ways to move things forward.
I was under the assumption that I was here because it says, is the existing political party duopoly past its sell-by date, and is it time to sweep it aside and usher in a new way of doing politics? To which I would say, actually, those two things are not irreconcilable. In fact, actually, I would argue that the rebuilding or the re-emergence of a duopoly has actually been about a new way of doing politics. You know, I always feel this place, it's not just that Pete did Big Chill here many, many years ago. But before that, it was a favoured venue of the GLC left, Greater London Council. The hard left ran the council here in London between 1981 and 1986. And we did try to experiment with a new way of doing politics. And this was suppressed and written out of history. I mean, it's interesting the Guardians finally realised that they were part of this conspiracy. So what we were trying to do then was actually to unite people in their diversity. So it's not identity politics, but it was the reverse. It's about actually trying to overcome homophobia, sexism, racism, disabledism, to unite the class. And then if you make people feel powerful, they can run themselves. And it's the idea that it's not just electing a few representatives who do things on your behalf, like some sort of feudal lord. It's actually getting people, empowering people to make their own decisions. So it's political, but it's also economic and social.
Well, I'm less of a fire starter and more really of a flamethrower, I think. And I think we need a more of a flamethrowing approach to politics. And I think that the way politics are at the moment doesn't work at all. I think we just get more of what we've had. And I have this dream where if we had a system where we identified the people in our communities who are doing really good things already. So we all know the people who have fought for a school or who have fought to keep open a hospital. There are so many amazing people in the community, and we've recently set up the Bournemouth Beacon. And through that, we've had almost 200 people inquire just from putting out a few posts and an article in local paper. But what struck me about these people is they were already engaged or wanting to be engaged in helping other people in the community, be it with the homeless, with the food kitchens, or working with permaculture. We've been up to the university, and there's some amazing young people at the university already engaged in some wonderful stuff, and they're heartfelt and they're wanting to make an impression. So I believe if we identified the people who exist currently in our communities, and we got behind them by way of some national movement, and we funded them to use the existing system to stand as members of parliament in their area as independents. So it doesn't matter what, whether they're Labour, whether they're Conservative, whether all we want is that they are good people wanting to do good for their communities and in their areas and for the world at large. Because I think a lot of the politicians we have go into this business now less about wanting to change things, and a huge amount of them are about themselves and their career politicians, where before they used to be there on a platform for something that inspired them, something that made them want to make a difference. So for me, I dream of this network of people in each community who receive, doesn't cost a huge amount to get elected, and they stand for, they're identified and they're supported by a larger network, maybe through Campfire, maybe through something else, and they are encouraged to stand for their constituency. If you imagine you had every single constituency with an independent candidate, we'd have a very different House of Commons. What I have been very inspired by is by Donald Trump being elected, because I think that what that tells us is actually anybody can be elected. You, me, anybody could be elected. If he can, so can anybody. We don't have to be affiliated with a party or be a career politician. And so for me, I'm done with both parties and all parties. And I think we should have a house full of independents. And I'm for a revolution, not a slow-burning campaign.
Thank you. Brilliant. My mind is buzzing.
Right now, I'm no longer really doing represent. I'm trying to pivot it into something else, because I've come to the conclusion that what I'm about to say doesn't actually work. So, or it's not that it doesn't necessarily work. It doesn't work yet. It doesn't work in the way I expected it to. And so what we were trying to do was basically build on the petitions idea, but add a disagree button. Add multiple choice questions. Make it so that you build up your own profile. And don't just sit on that data and monetize it like Change.org and 38 Degrees do. Present it. Make maps. Show demographics. Pull in census data. Show how representative it is. Send that data to MPs. Make it open to everybody, to local authorities, so that everyone who needs to act on that data, your desire about how the world can be, can act on it. And as Richard kindly said, we have these beautiful maps that you can zoom right in on down to ward level, see who's engaged at each ward level, see who wants what, where, how that correlates with other things. And it does a number of useful roles. You can, for example, say, okay, show me London, show me transport topics sort by consensus. That's TfL's to-do list. And show me the ones that are representative. There we go, that's a much better version of TfL's to-do list. And it also allows you to say, well, hang on a second, let's look at these two, three issues. What you would sort of want is that often we ask for the moon on a stick. We say, I want an amazing NHS, an amazing education system, and I want low taxes. Not gonna happen. It's just not going to happen. So we can hold that mirror up to ourselves and go, are we a responsible civic yet? How many of us are asking for this and this, knowing that that is impossible? Or not knowing that that's impossible, because actually often we just haven't thought this shit through. We don't understand the trade-offs, or we're being asked to make trade-offs, and in fact not introducing this third option that perhaps catalyzes a change in the other two. And so we're being asked essentially stupid, simple binary questions that don't allow us to fully express ourselves as with the granularity and the responsibility that we want. So the referendum, we all look stupid in that, because we're all galvanized into black or white, and we know it's not like that. So represent is there to bring in more shades of gray, more colors of the rainbow, and to bring better information into decisions.
The last thing I did, I did leave Compass Think Tank recently to go and do another project, which is The Alternative. But the last thing I did before I left was write a paper called Is the Party Over? And I know that Richard and I could be in conversation for hours about this. But I looked at why political parties weren't really serving us anymore. But the biggest fact that I came out with that I can't ignore, and we none of us can really ignore, is that only 2% of people in the UK are members of political parties. What's happened, right, over the last 10 years is that we've been in a revolution. Right? Now, some people talk about bring on the revolution, but the truth is we've been in a revolution for 10 years. It's the revolution of information and connectivity that was brought to us by the internet. So over the last 10 years, everything's changed. I mean, it just, you know, it has. The quality of our lives has changed. Now, sometimes that's a good thing. Parts of it are good. We've been able to connect with many other people. We've had access to information. We've had the ability to, you know, be global creatures. We can reach out to people across the world. So what is that phenomenon and what should we be doing with that? Our general experience of that has been that it's caused a lot of chaos. The height of it, I think, of the brokenness of it and the inadequacy of our political response came for me during Brexit. And I found myself on an island just outside of Denmark in a political festival on the day that Joe Cox was murdered. And it was a real sense to me of, you know, politics is broken. You know, we're now at this point where the country's so deeply divided and it's verging on the extreme now. Somebody's died. You know, what is the alternative? And I just committed at that point to starting this new political platform on the basis of that question, what is the alternative? Because the real thing that's changed is the dynamics, you know, is the power dynamics. People in a million different ways have got a sense that they can make a difference to their own lives. They're organizing themselves differently. You know, what you're talking about, Kim, is a really good example of, you know, people wanting to do things for themselves. Independents are beginning to arise. What you're doing, Ed, is another example of that. You know that there's information and data out there that we need better access to, so you're just going to go and get it. What Richard's talking about the need to engage people in a more playful way that somehow makes them feel they want to be part of this, is, you know, is something about the changing feel of politics. I mean, there's all these different pieces, but can we give rise to something genuinely different now, which has itself orientated in society, not in Westminster? So it is generally of the people. And this is something that is not, I don't feel it's going to be an overnight project. It's a slow developmental project. The important part of this for us is that, you know, as Kim was saying, we have to turn it upside down. We're no longer living in a world where politicians can offer to provide people with power. We're living in a world in which people are taking power back for themselves. And so what is the politics that can serve that, right? It does require quite a turning around of one's way of being in the world. So one of the things that we do is that we encourage people, when they are becoming active in any way, just stepping up to citizenship, just doing their own initiative, we're saying, okay, wear the badge, I'm a politician, right? You are the politicians now of this 21st century. What is really missing is the kind of party that can lead that. And when I say lead, I'm saying that specifically because as much as we could live in this utopia that I think Pete was pointing at, where people are beginning to take more responsibility for their own lives, still there has to be somebody connecting that to power and the resources that we share across the nation and then across the globe. So somebody has to be, you know, there's still a role for politicians to serve and to connect people to the sources of power and to the globe. So this is, for us, a design process, right? We're in the process of designing a new way that suits these new dynamics. The autonomy and the political credibility that can give people back control doesn't come through ticking boxes. It comes through developing relationships with each other. It comes through facing difficult questions together. It comes from being able to tolerate each other and notice each other's needs. This is a human development, social development project we're in. if we want a new politics, then we all have to sort of recognise that and invite people to step up for themselves.
You are listening to a Campfire Firecast.
My name is Suzanne Noble, and I'm the co-founder of Advantages of Age.
And why did you decide to join Campfire Convention?
I met Pete via my co-founder, Rose, when he came into my hot tub and had a conversation about co-housing communities. And as a result of that, I was fascinated by what he did, and he asked me if I would join Campfire Convention, so I did.
And what have you made of today's event?
Lots of food for thought, lots of food for thought. It's been really, really interesting because I run my own community, which is a pro-aging community. And so I've seen lots of similar challenges to what's going on with Campfire Convention. So lots of things around membership, how you galvanize people, you know, what we actually are, all those sorts of questions which are quite similar to ones that were raised today. And so, yeah, just come away with lots of ideas and also quite inspired, but also realizing the challenges that we've all got.
Okay, great. Thank you.
The people are here. We are all here, fussing around the edges, shuffling to the fire, sitting with great grunts on smouldering logs, kicking our heels in the spitting flames. We are singing in a circle, face to face, all equal under the sun. We are names, palms extended, touching fingers, swimming against the plug hole, nodding like puffy pigeons at the wisdom of each other's words. We are flying home with treasures tied tightly to our toes. We are better than our divisions, turning to, not on or from each other, shrugging off the coats of our grandfathers, pulling on our wellies. We are poetry with paisley cuffs and dirty fingernails. Farmers of compassion, with eyes like tomatoes and a glut of cauliflowers in the shed. We are taking back our land, we are unmaking our bed, sculpting flat-packed democracy with pipe cleaners, warm quiche and shades of red. We are breaking through the boundaries, upturning all the stickle bricks and the Lego and the fuzzy felt, and we are moving the broken pieces with our minds. We are genius, empowered puppets with broken strings, using digital daring to paint forests in the fertile wasteland, Irma in a shot glass, Californian wildfire in the clouds. We are the islands in the cracking ice, sailing the storm surge into something strange and new. We are the stories of our children, a campfire burning, warriors of words. We can change the world, softly, softly, gently, slowly, sly fox creeping, earthworm tickling, foot pedaling, heart humming, tiny steps dancing, forward, 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 a thousand phoenix feathers flashing in a peeling sky.
To hide a safe place somewhere in the woods, we can start a fire. All we know is what will be our home. We will stay until the break of dawn. Escape the chill. Tucked up somewhere in the woods on a hill. hill. Wake up feeling the cold in between our toes. Is there a way back? Nobody knows. We need some time, and we all sit around the fire. We feel a little warmer now, and we all sit around the fire. We feel so much better.
Thanks for listening up to this second Firecast, and to Josh Coast for the High Five interviews. You can watch the full Reimagined Politics panel video on the Bugle at campfireconvention.com, along with lots of other interesting articles. Please feel free to contribute yourself. Campfire is what we all make it. We'll be back with another edition in a few weeks. Look out for a report on the Malvern Hills and Bournemouth Beacon events, and news of forthcoming events too. We're compiling our best of 2017, so let us know what's most excited you. Maybe a film, a book, a place, music, an inspiring talk, or a friend. What sparked your flame?
And we all sit around the fire.
You have been listening to a Campfire Firecast.